Hallelujah. Does that got it? Okay, so Reader's Digest version. All good. Thank you. It seems like forever since last Sunday, but last Sunday you honored Christine and I and Sam and Maddie, and thank you all for that. We bless you. We were humbled, and it was just overwhelming. Thanks, Obed and Adriana, for yes. All that you did. Yeah. Yes. And Kiera for singing us a song. and Heather for all the preparation she'd done there. And she, you had a sermon there. That was good. That was very good. She's a born preacher, I think. But thank you all. It was delightful. You know, I really like expository preaching. You know, expository preaching is taking a book of the Bible and preaching it from beginning to end. And you know what you're dealing with. You got the thing to preach out of, God uses it to speak into people's lives, and He brings a word in season to people. But God doesn't seem to let me do that very much. Because every time I ask Him what to preach about, I think I hear Him, and I get really insecure. And so I say, well, can we go back to expository preaching? There's some really good books in here that we need to hear about. And He keeps not saying no to me, but keeps giving me little nudges about doing other things. And so I prepared this week something, and I felt really insecure about it. And then I got in here this morning, and every single thing I've heard was a confirmation in one way or another of what I'm preaching. You know, what Stefan had when he led the service this morning, a song that Corey sang to us in the service. I've asked him to sing it again when the kids come up. What was happening prophetically in the worship here? It's amazing. And so I felt like I was surfing a wave this morning. You know, I went out to check out the ocean and got to surf a little bit. So it's really cool when he shows up and helps me in my insecurity. you know that you're in the kingdom, right? We all understand that. And you're in the world and not of the world. Does that make sense? That means that the world has nothing to teach you about spirituality. Right? It's kingdom stuff that we're interested in. The kingdom has everything to teach us. Our little granddaughter, Alicia, not so little anymore, she's getting taller and taller. When she was four or five, she was at our house and she was over last night, and it reminded me. When she was there, I said, okay, well, we're going to go to church tomorrow. And she said, you can't go to church. And I said, what? She said, you are the church. You can't go to church. Oh. Okay. So always being willing to learn, I said, I am the church. What does that mean? And she says, well, you're in the kingdom. And I said, okay, well, what's the kingdom? And she says, well, Jesus is the king, and he has full rule in the kingdom. And that's where we live. They're 4 years old. That was great. So we took that and began to understand a little more that you don't get Holy Spirit Junior, right? Right? When you're a kid, if you accept Jesus, you know, Jesus in your heart, you don't get a kind of watered-down version with little fries and and a milk, you know. You get the full Holy Spirit. And so, you know, they're getting truths at such a young age that we decided that we were going to teach them theology in Sunday school. We're going to teach them how to hear the voice of God in Sunday school. Because, you know, if they learn, grow up learning that stuff, then who knows what will happen. You know, we don't want to kind of beat it out of them like we do with their artistic ability. We mess kids up. You know, every kid is an artist till they go to school. And then they get insecure and they forget how to draw. And they just, some of them won't do it. Some continue on, but some just don't adapt well to the environment. And the environment is important. And so we want to build an environment where the kids are expected to have something to offer, because they hear really well from the Lord. They hear important stuff. And so, you know, in the kingdom, talking about the kingdom, in the kingdom there's no good days and there's no bad days. Right? They're just grace days. Days filled with grace. And as we begin to understand the word grace a little more as we move through this year of grace for us, grace is our word for the year. I didn't pick it because you're always tested on those things, right? I want the word for next year to be Hawaii. Test me in it, Lord. But grace is our word for this year. So every day is a grace day in the kingdom, and it's a day to enjoy grace or to endure with grace. Grace is the empowering presence of God, right? And he empowers us to enjoy the day. And sometimes it's empowering us to endure the day. He promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's amazing all of the time. Jesus, when he was speaking to us in the Gospels, he only talked about church twice. Yeah. Talked about the kingdom more than 60 times. Yeah. Church didn't exist then, so that's, you know, not much point in talking about it. That's the way we look at it logically, right? But the kingdom did exist, and the kingdom does exist, and the kingdom is important. The kingdom is important, and I don't know that he kind of looked forward to the day when church became the way we look at church today. I think that he envisioned church is any time we get together with kingdom purposes, that's church. Any time that we get together, just gathered together and we have the kingdom as a purpose, that becomes church. Ecclesia, the word for church, just means the gathering of the saints, essentially. But we miss that sometimes. As we move through the kingdom, we grow in the kingdom, and he shows us more and more things in the kingdom. If you want to learn about kingdom, you don't read the epistles first to understand it. You read the Gospels. Jesus was talking about a transition time from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, the new Old Testament to the New Testament. And you have to understand that transition in order to be able to interpret the things that Paul, for example, had to say through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament about kingdom. You have to kind of filter it through the way Jesus saw it.
Yes.
The way Jesus explained it to us. And we get to know it more and more as we spend our time in it. He opens up more revelation. And, you know, the words have always been there, the scriptures have always been there, but our way of looking at it is a little differently. You take two blindfolded men and put them at the front and the back of an elephant and have them describe the elephant to each other. They see entirely different beings. I'm not going to go down that path. Just know that they would see entirely differently, you know. One has a trunk, and yeah, well, it could be a little trunk, you know. One has a mouth, well, that's a mouth and a bad breath. And they see things differently, and they describe things differently, but they're looking at the same thing. And so we are looking at the same thing, trying to define what it is and make it workable for us. So we, in our wonder and our wisdom, we sing to Jesus, we lift you up, Jesus. We lift your name up, we lift you up, and that's very good. That's very good. We should do that, because he calls us to do that. But often we're in a place where we're very low. And you know what he said to me today? Is that he wants to be invited into those places as well. Not exclusively, and it's not lift you up exclusively, but when we're in those low places, we sometimes leave him out of it. Because that's not where we should be if we're real kingdom people. We're real church people. And so we think that we need to be very optimistic and everything is good and everything is wonderful all of the time, but there is a place where he wants to be invited in. Now, often the low part of where we are is something that is of our own doing. And so we think, oh, I have to get myself out. I got myself in. I got to get myself out. But he wants to be invited in. Or it's a place where we're a little bit ashamed of. There is no shame in Jesus. He knows us completely and fully. And he wants to be invited into those places to show us that there is no shame. Turn with me to Isaiah 61, if you would. What to leave in and what to take out. Eh? Thank you, Lord. Show me. He says in Song of Solomon, Song of Songs 2, verse 1, it says, I am the lily of the valleys. I am the rose of Sharon. I always thought that said, I am the lily of the valley. And I wondered, oh, look at that. Thanks, Faith. Have a little faith and everything works out. Right? I always thought that was lily of the valley. But I couldn't understand. I like plants, right? I like to work with my hands in the garden. And lily of the valley is terribly poisonous. It is awful. And I thought, how could that be? until I actually read what it says. I am the lily of the valleys. Lily, there are many kinds of lilies. There's Easter lilies and calla lilies. And if you're a man, there's tiger lilies, you know. We don't have to get stuck with this lily of the valleys thing. You know, I had understood that it was a thing that grew in the dark places and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is saying that there are valleys in our lives. There's places where it's low. And there's places where we just are going to have a hard time. That's a part of life, even in the kingdom. Even in the kingdom. And I am very optimistic, and I am a man of faith. But there are places that we find ourselves in. Jesus is my healer. I live in this place of expecting and pressing into and looking to God for healing my heart. I have a physical ailment in my heart that Jesus paid for the healing 2,000 years ago. And I want to see the full manifestation of it. But I don't see it. Haven't yet, but it may be this next second. So I press into that. Jesus is my healer. But you know who he is in the meantime? He is my keeper. And he's wanting to show himself to me as my keeper. That I will keep you. You will not die. You shall live. But does it matter if you see the manifestation of that thing right now in our relationship? Is it only if I show up and snap that thing into place right now that you will worship me? Well, no, Jesus. I love you. You know, I got to say the right things, right? He wants to show me that he'll keep me. And that there's something for me to learn in it all. Now quickly, every single one of us has circumstances. Circumstances that we're going through with our families, with our finances, our jobs, our schooling. People today have to struggle with things that I never even dreamed of. Sexuality, there was never a question when I was growing up. You know, I didn't even know that there was another choice. My grandma had this couple living in the apartment above them, and they were Richard and Reg, and I just thought they were two guys that lived together. But they had a different kind of a sexual relationship, and I didn't know about that. But now the struggle is kind of foisted upon people, and they've got to deal with this thing. How do you deal with it when you're not prepared? The education system foists it upon kids in grade 2 and 3. Like, I wasn't ready for it when I found out about it when I was 18. You know, like, what is that? It's not fair, but it's there. And it's stuff that people have to struggle with here. Right. And how on earth do you let Jesus into that place? How on earth do you let Jesus in there? Of course you can't. Because he says it's wrong. The way I read it. But you can let him in there. And he wants to be in there. Did you hear the word this morning about opening the doors? Front door, back door, shutters, windows. Open it up. Because Jesus wants to be a part of all of those hard places. How do we make decisions, you know, when you want to get married, but yet you know your family doesn't like who you want to get married to? Where do you let Jesus into that? This is my family that I grew up with and the person that I love. You can't let Jesus into that. That's my decision. Jesus wants to be there. Jesus wants to show himself. So the question then gets to be, how do you want to show yourself to me today, Lord? How do you want to show yourself to me? What is it about your limitless character that you want to show me in the place that I'm at today? Sam, my son, also pastor here, we felt like he should have a sabbatical, and he gets on the sabbatical, and we think he's going to have this wonderful time reading and catching up with stuff and spending time with his family. He gets sick. Well, have faith, you know? What's the matter with you? Get past that, big boy. But God is showing himself to Sam in a way that he couldn't have any other time in Sam's life. I believe that Sam is walking in his healing and he's walking it out. But in the meantime, God is keeping him and showing him a different aspect of who he is. He's amazing. And sometimes we don't get the chance or take the time to look at how amazing he is. We are so darn busy and fill our lives with screen time. Thank you for all not looking at it right now. But, you know, when I grew up, and admittedly, that's when the dinosaurs were around. We had to fight them to get a little quiet time. But you'd ponder things, and you'd think things over, and you'd process things. And sometimes somebody would say something to you, and you wouldn't see them for a week. And in that time, you had time to process, digest, rework, think it through, and come to a place where you were sorry that that had happened. But instead, now, if somebody says something to you, you're on social media telling everybody that they said that. You're stuck with that. You can't get away from it. And there are consequences to things that we would never, ever have seen happen before. Ways of dealing with things that I never had to deal with when I was younger. Thank God. I was slow in the uptake, right? I would have said some things that I would have regretted the rest of my life if I'd had a phone on me at those times. But God in his wisdom didn't give me a phone. So I'm glad that you guys are ready for it. Because he knows about it. And he's in those places. And he's taking you down a different road than he took me. Was one better than the other? I can't say that. I just know that Jesus is good all the time. And I know that he's wanting to show himself to us. Maybe somebody could go and release the kids up here. And somebody want to tell them? Thanks, Jennifer. Isaiah, I wanted to read this with you. 61, starting in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Now does that not say that God wants to be led into those low places? The way I read it, it does. Yes. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. You know what faint spirit is? Depression. That was the way they described depression in biblical times. To give them a garment of praise instead of depression. That they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Oaks grow their roots deep into the soil that they're planted in. All of these descriptions are coming out of a place where the oak would have gone through difficult winters and difficult springs and windy summers and all of that kind of stuff, digging their roots in deep into the soil of their circumstances. Circumstances are the soil of our lives. Whatever circumstances we're in, it's the soil that God has put us into. Sometimes the circumstances are stinky. That's the manure side of of the soil that you're in. It's what he's got us in and how he's growing us up, and he's moving us from one place to another. But don't miss him in the place you're moving from. Everybody has circumstances. Everybody is going through something or another in their lives. It's the way it is, because God is moving us from one place to another so that we can glorify him. But we glorify him in the prison, and we glorify him on the mountaintops. He is the one that we need to know in every situation, because in the valley or the valleys, he wants to show us who he is there for us. He may want to show us that he's our keeper, or he's our provider, or he will provide miraculously for us when it doesn't look like there's any money for us to live on. When there isn't groceries in the cupboard and you've got hungry kids, groceries show up at the door.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Are you living the abundant life at that point? It's a struggle from day to day, but God is showing himself to us, right, preparing us to move from place to place. Don't miss him in the low places. Right. Don't miss him in the places that you think you caused. Get yourself into debt. Get yourself into trouble with somebody. God would love to be invited into those places. Open up the doors. Open up the windows. Open up the basement door. Let him in. Because he will show himself to you in a delightful and wonderful way. Corey, would you play that? I just heard this morning, and I was kind of overwhelmed with it. And I hope, I have faith that it'll turn up. Faith isn't short, she's just more down to earth than the rest of us.
Just before I play, Randy just mentioned an insecurity with the word he was going to bring today. And there was an insecurity when I played the song, because obviously it was a song that nobody heard before. And just looking back at what occurred, like, I'm just trying to bring people into, like, how this came about. It's like, if I had chosen in a split second to play something else, none of this, like, it just, like, it's totally God. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that, and
it's a good word.
Just that there is a risk, and it's not about me, but God's good.
There is strength within sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. meet us in the morning with the love that cast out fear. And you are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying. Beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever. You're perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. And you are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your way? High above the heaven, reaching down in endless grace. And you're the lifter of the lowly. You're compassionate and kind. Oh, you surround and you uphold. Promises of my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Be faithful forever. You're perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. And even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory, Lord. And even in the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. Turn it for our good and for your glory, Lord. And even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Let us still prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fight.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for a good choice. Now stand, if you would. I'm going to pray for you. And then if you're in a place and you'd like to let God into the low place or a place that you haven't really invited him into in the past, there'll be people here that will pray for you. After we're dismissed. Wonderful prayer teams. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you are higher than we could ever have imagined. But you also are with us in those low places. You desire, Lord, to move us in the instead, to move us from a place of mourning to a place of joy, from a place of depression to a place of praise. You have a way to move us, but you want us to embrace you even in the low places, even in the place where we can't see a prodigal moving to come home. Prodigal parent, prodigal child, prodigal sibling or friend. We can't see them coming. We can't see any change ever happening in our financial situation. We can't see you moving in our decisions. Well, that's just the way we are. But God, you can move anything. I ask, Lord, that each of us will be able to embrace you in those low places. As each of us goes through situations, circumstances, let us see it as the soil within which we grow and not a place where we need to be shameful or hiding it, especially from you. Help us to be kingdom people, Lord, and to move the way that you want us to. For we'll glorify you in the low and we'll glorify you in the high. We will sing to you in prison and we will sing to you in the mountaintops and castles. You are amazing, Lord, and we love you so much. I pray your blessing upon each one. Let us embrace you in every way, O wonderful Jesus. In your lovely name we pray. Amen. Amen.